This week, think about what it means to speak as God would like us to speak. Last week, we thought about our actions and how faith was connected to the actions Christ takes for us. And we'll discover that our lives and our faith depends on how Christ would speak for us. But we begin thinking about this whole nature of the tongue, which is what James is describing for us today. And of course, when we think about the tongue, we don't just mean speaking, but all communication would be a form of our tongue, of what we put out into the world. And so we know there's a lot of more options for communication today than in James's day. Now we can write letters, send emails, shoot off a text message. We can even record ourselves in advance and edit that recording to our heart's content, and then send that to somebody. And of course, there's the most danger in speaking live and just talking to people one-on-one, whether that's on the phone, on Zoom, or in person. Any of those ways kind of give us a live action access to what people are saying. And James recognizes well that that is a hard place for us to be. We do not always speak perfectly. We do not always share what we should in such conversations. In fact, the other forms of communication are probably a little bit better on this end. If we were going to be teachers, we at least have the chance to think about what we were saying. If we were going to try to lead people to God or to speak as God would have us speak, at least when we write something down or when we're doing a pre-recorded message, we can edit it. We can go back and say, ooh, that wasn't what I wanted to say, or, oh, I didn't communicate that well, and we can shift that around. But live speaking, once we say something, it's out there. And we can apologize for it if it hurts somebody, but we cannot undo it in the same way. Which may even be why James is writing a letter to the congregation in the first place. He recognizes that they have to hear some truths, some teaching, some instruction, and what he wants to offer is not something that he is just going to share off the cuff, but that he wants to spend some time and attention writing out and editing and ensuring it communicates exactly what he wants it to say. So even the letter itself may indicate this nature of speaking versus writing something down or doing something with an editable means of communication. And we know that James doesn't have a whole lot of hope for our tongues. Indeed, he talks a little bit about how it boasts of great exploits and how the tongue sort of directs us. It's a small member, sure, but it shapes what we are thinking about, what we are speaking about, and then, of course, that will translate into action. It guides our whole body. So if we could speak perfectly, our whole selves would also be behaving perfectly, James says, and we would be right and within our bodies, too. But the challenge, of course, is that we do not do this. And in fact, James has some pretty strong words about the tongue, that it's a restless evil full of deadly poison. He says that it sets on fire the cycle of nature. It damages the created world, the way we talk to each other, maybe even about this world, some harm to it. And says that itself is set on fire by hell. Pretty harsh statement, to be sure. So we don't see a whole lot of trust of this tongue. And perhaps the greatest reason for that is what he'll say later. And perhaps one of the greatest evils of the tongue is this, that it has the capacity to speak both truth and falsehoods, that it can both praise God and speak curses against those who are made in God's likeness or in God's image. And James looks at this and says, this is a terrible thing. I mean, it'd be a terrible thing if tongues always acted evilly and always did things they shouldn't. But to be able to also speak truth sometimes means we are going to have a really hard time to know what we should say. And in fact, we're going to have a really hard time discerning what we should pay attention to when others speak as well. And that this is the same issue we see coming up in our gospel reading today. Peter makes this amazing confession of Jesus being the Messiah. He gets it right. He has his focus on divine things. And almost immediately, Jesus has to turn around and rebuke him for offering a satanic perspective that focuses on human things over divine things. And so if Peter, who is closest to Jesus, who has just gotten it as right as he can possibly get it, can then turn right around and get it wrong, we know that this is an option for all of us. That at the end of the day, we can't rely on a given person to be our instructor, to be our teacher. Because people can sometimes get it right and sometimes get it wrong. And even people who have gotten it right before can turn around and get it wrong. And even those who have gotten it wrong before can turn right around and get it right. And so this is the headache that it is of discerning the instruction or the words that are coming to us. And at the end of the day, if we were going to look for a person to be always right, there are only three persons we could look to. And that would be the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. These are the only persons who always speak truth and speak the words that we need to hear. On the flip side, there is only one person who always speaks lies and always says what we should not hear, and that, of course, is Satan. And so these are our two extremes, and our own words are usually couched within them. We are either pointing to the truth that is expressed by the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, or we are lifting up those things of this earth and going down these other avenues. And so when we think about what does it mean to speak well or to speak as a teacher should, we may well wonder, how do we do this? And not even just how do we speak, but how do we listen? Well, Isaiah has an idea for us today. Isaiah himself describes himself as a teacher. I have the tongue of a teacher that God has given to me. I am here to offer the instruction, to offer the words that God would have me share. Well, how does Isaiah reach this conclusion? How does he maintain this position of teacher? Well, he says morning by morning. We could say day by day. We could probably even say moment by moment. God wakens my ears to listen as one who is taught. That if we are going to speak anything that is going to be true, that is going to point to God, we must first hear and listen for God's word to be shared with us. So that seems pretty straightforward. Okay, we should listen to what God has to say. We need God to open our ears to do this. Okay. But the challenge there is exactly what we see going on in our gospel reading, that when Jesus speaks to the people and when Jesus speaks to us, there are things that make it difficult for us to recognize Christ's words as God's words. Even though Jesus is the living word of God, is this word enfleshed, we will still have a hard time recognizing God's truth, God's words coming from him because, well, he says some hard things to us. Jesus challenges us. He will rebuke us just as he does to Peter. He will tell us very clearly that if we are to live, we must lay down our life for him and for the gospel. That we must follow him by taking up our cross. These are hard and difficult things to do. This is no easy avenue that Jesus presents us with. It is not a straightforward process either, one that we can just say, well, I checked that off the list, or I did these tasks, great or small, and therefore God now has to let me into heaven or save me or whatever it may be. The call is to consistently follow Jesus. And this challenge is deepened in that what Jesus says to us doesn't make sense to us. Perhaps we could even follow Jesus if we always thought that, well, I can see I'm progressing, everything makes sense, I have to do some great tasks, but if I work hard enough, train hard enough, study long enough, I can get there. But Jesus says, actually, that's not the path that I would have you go through. In fact, the path is suffering and death. That is what you are to embrace. You're to lay down your life. And we say, that doesn't compute. That doesn't seem to be a path forward for having life. That doesn't make sense to us. And indeed, we see Isaiah, the disciples, and Jesus himself challenged because of this. That a lot of the reason I think Isaiah finds himself spat upon, his beard pulled out, people dishonoring him, are the same reasons that Jesus encounters his own pushback. That people want him to have to go to a cross. Because what he is saying in God's words of instruction do not make sense to us. And so we reject them outright. We become rebellious and we turn back from it. Say, no, I can't accept that this is what God would say to me. And that, of course, becomes our problem. Once that happens, we then are speaking incorrectly. We are not listening as we should, and we are not following God's word. But the good news is that this word never gives up on us. God doesn't stop speaking. Jesus comes to share with us God's word, God's instruction. And that instruction looks a lot like what Isaiah described to us as well. What is the purpose of it? It is to sustain the weary with a word. Jesus knows well that we fall short, that we are weak and unable to follow the perspective, the teaching, the instruction that he lays out for us. And so Christ willingly embraces this path of suffering and death that we may know life. Jesus lays down his life, not just so that he might receive life, but that we may receive life. Because this is the teaching, the instruction that God's word would bring about. It is that which leads to life, to grace, to mercy, to love. To say to us, even when we have used our tongues improperly, even when we have meshed together fresh and salt water in ways that do not make sense, within our own speaking, the grace of God is still being proclaimed to us by Jesus Christ, who continues to intercede for us to God and continues to speak to us today through the power of the Holy Spirit. And in this, we find ourselves changed, transformed. We need God's words spoken on our behalf to offer us the life, healing, and mercy that we so desperately need if we are ever to speak as we should in this world, if we are ever to proclaim this good news. Indeed, we encounter that same life-giving, life-speaking word today in this meal that we share. Here, Christ enters into this bread and wine, his body and blood, and fills us once more, and sustains us who are weary, offers us strength and nourishment that we may endure in this walking of faith, that we may endure as ones who will follow after Christ, just as Isaiah could endure because he knew God was with him, and that he could persevere even when others challenged him and pushed back against him. So too can we, because Christ strengthens us. Because Christ offers us the forgiveness and mercy we need to know that we can stand before God, regardless of what others may say to us. That we can know God is near to us, and we have encountered God's gift of grace, of mercy, of love. And we who have received this gift are called to go forth and use our tongues in ways that celebrate and share this love we have received, that we may actually discover that we can do both. Praise God, who has done this wonderful thing for us, and offer words of blessing to those around us who are made in God's likeness. And for this good news, that God keeps speaking to us, keeps offering us an instruction that sustains the weary, even when we have misspoken or mistakenly acted, all we can say in response for such a gift of grace as this is, thanks be to God. Amen.